Welcome to Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... The Cyborg Next Door.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So, not to go too far in, but like a teen movie, classic teen movies include The Girl Next Door, yeah. Which is about that one, that girl who's a porn star next door, I think. Yeah. Is that the one?
That's a great movie.
Is it? I haven't seen it. Is it because you get to see Booby?
No. It's just a genuinely good movie.
Did you get to see Booby in it then?
To be fair, it was one of the first films I watched as a teenager that had a booby in it, and yeah. I was like, a booby!
Wow!
My eyes literally popped out like a cartoon, and I went... like wrote them in a rather cartoony way. I went, oh, wooga!
So, The Cyborg Next Door from Tomasz Trodakowski. Thanks for that one, Tomasz. From Facebook this time.
Oh.
So that's, is it 3-2? 3-2 this week.
Catching up, old Facebook.
Old Facebook.
I think the last two from Facebook have also been Tommy.
Yeah. He's giving us some good titles. Joining us this week to pitch some teen movies.
Teen movies.
Joe Thompson.
Hi.
Welcome back to the show.
It's an absolute pleasure to be back.
Joe Thompson, comedian, stand-up man, improviser. What else do you do?
Teach improv. Occasionally I just go outside and stare at things. I don't do that professionally, but I'm talking about everything that I do.
I don't know.
Things there.
Good to have you on. Do you want to hear some honourable mentions?
Yes.
Mm.
So we've got one from Charlie Gascoigne, and that is Wealthy versus Poor, Dancing in the Streets.
Right. I have this idea that... Well, firstly, right, one pitch is that people get... Dancers get miniaturised to have a competition inside Mike Skinner. But that's a different thing. I was waiting for that one.
He's the lead singer of The Streets.
Yes, he is. But then my second idea was, like, you have this series that starts off, like, Wealthy versus Poor. It's Tiffany, and she gets all the dance classes, and she got her own studio, and we're just some cool poor people doing a street break dancing style, and eventually we'll get better. But every single film, and I'm talking like seven films, they lose. It's an underdog story where they lose, right? Until the last one, where like it keeps getting, they keep stepping up the guns. Like, in fact,
step up the guns.
Yeah, maybe they win. Like they win, and each time Tiffany gets so angry that she like starts interfering with the rules of the game to try and make the status quo go back to normal, right? So every time these underdogs win, Tiffany changes the rules, right? Or maybe that's why they lose, because every time Tiffany changes the rules, to the point where it ends up being the Hunger Games, and it's just wealthy versus poor, but shooting each other while just, like, dancing to a rhythm.
My alternative pitch was, so it's already in a post-apocalyptic, like, the wealth and the rich and the poor are, like, super divided, like, the rich live up in, like, these, like, glorious high-rises, and the poor are all, like, in the slums, and, like, they're super repressed by the rich. And the poor are like, we can do this. You know what they can't stop us doing? And then they start dancing. Then there's all this training and stuff. It's like, right, we're going to have a dance protest. They go out to the streets. It's like a flash mob. All those rich are like, oh, no. And there's like these dances and dance
around. That's not ballet.
and they're like, this is most unacceptable. And then it ends with just like the police being called and they're just being mowed down. Just like these trucks turn up and they just get out with machine guns and they just like, it's just... completely undramatic, just a single cam as people are just dancing and then suddenly just like all mowed down.
The Requiem for a Dream soundtrack plays while just like slow motion of goons with guns.
No music. It's like everybody dancing and then it's just the sound of machine guns for 5 minutes.
Like, right, for 1 hour 25 minutes, it's pure Motown. Like, it's almost like a Motown sort of Northern Soul musical.
Yeah.
And then those last 5 minutes, the music cuts. Cars, tanks, just running people over.
Well, right, here's how you could make this a film. They can't stop us dancing. There's one thing they can't do, and that's stop us dancing. So they all start dancing, and then Tim Curry, who's playing the mastermind behind the segregation of rich and poor, goes, "I think you'll find you're wrong," and then he presses a button, and then all the roads electrify, and everyone's paralysed from the waist down.
And then it cuts with the protagonist like sat in a hospital bed, like looking sadly, a single tear going down their eye. Slow pan out, and it's like a slow version of like everybody dancing in the street.
Well, that's I was just thinking that like. After this happens, like, it happens in one location where one of the biggest flash dance mobs in the world, right, and has happened, and Tim Curry paralyzes them all. at which point, like, David Bowie and Mick Jagger burst out through a door with machine guns and rubber soles and just start storming the gates of power, leading people to dance in the street and take back the eat the rich.
It ends with them just cannibalizing the wrench.
The riff to Dancing in the Street does sound like a superhero beat. Boom! Here I am! I'm coming to shoot you!
sounds very good, Mick.
I'm the star man.
We should set up in this abandoned warehouse, just off in this industrial district. There's no one here yet, but I believe once we break down the doors of power and shoot Tim Curry, people will join our cause.
That's what the video's about. The video for Dancing in the Street by David Bowie and Mick Jagger.
It's a plot.
That's where that abandoned warehouse that they're dancing in is the start of their revolution. Underground.
We have to nucleatify the endorsement of this political ideology.
David, I'm just in it for dance moves. Yeah.
Superlative.
What? I don't understand the word you're saying, David Bowie. Way you say it.
That's because I'm making most of them up.
Why does Mick Jagger sound like Austin Powers? Yeah, baby.
Groovy, baby. I'm Mick Jagger.
I'm evidently doing a good impression of Mick Jagger then. Yeah. That's where you're going with it.
I think Mike Myers did base Austin Powers on Mick Jagger. So
cool.
So that was rich versus poor, dance, come over here and dance, dance a street stomp sprightly jig and have a wild old time and eat the rich.
Bring it over here, please.
Bring it over here, please. Eat the rich, David Bowie and Mick Jagger.
Step up. Street stomp. Step up the guns.
Eat the rich.
So we've got one here from Ed Crawley. Chad McGuffin and the Ill-Advised Wager.
Ooh, this is like, what's that one? Oh, is it 10 Things I Hate About You, which is the one where someone is, like, dared to sleep with someone? Oh, no, it's Cruel Intentions.
Guys and Dolls, I believe.
10 Things I Hate About You is where he pays someone to date someone. Because he wants to get access, because it's based on a Shakespeare play, and he pays someone else,
or Tell like, me the Shrew.
Tell me the Shrew, yeah. Pays someone else to like date this one person so that he can get access to the sister, which, you know, gives you an indication of how progressive that film is.
The fact that he needs to gain access. Like hacking a computer system.
I think they do try and modernise it a bit so that like it's a bit more like, you know, modern than the Shakespeare play, which is messed up. But yeah, so I don't know if that one's a wager or not, though, as more of it is like a deal.
Whereas in Cruel Intentions, which I also believe is based on something else, maybe it was just a book called Cruel Intentions, but I definitely know that someone, Sarah Michelle Gellar, like, says, hey, if you sleep with this other person, I'll, as your, like, stepsister, have sex with you. That's the wager. It's like, oh, if you win and sleep with this person, who is undesirable or whatever, I will have sex with you. That's what she's offering on the table. Weird. It's a weird movie.
Yeah, don't really know what to say about that.
But, like, there are those wagers, you know? Yeah. You have the wagers. And I think it has to involve, like, some kind of romantic endeavour.
Oh, I was going to say he makes a wager that he won't hit puberty.
He Peter Pans it. Like
that is an ill advice. Yeah. I will say that is an ill advice.
It's like the idea that he's like, I'm not going to do it. He's like, you can't not do it. He's like, bet you a tenner I can.
It's just a tenner. Like,
it sounds like it's...
The
like,
stakes it's just like, in this film.
It's just
film.
Like, it sounds like crap. I don't want to do it.
And it's just a film of him trying not to hit puberty with a series of different, like, elaborate plots that, like, you know, stop his balls dropping. Like, he, like, definitely plucks every hair that... like, new hair that grows.
It just shaves and then, like, gaffer tapes his balls up.
Like, like, he, that's the thing. He starts going through puberty and, like, he has to hide the effect. It's like She's the Man.
But it's more like He's the Boy.
Hang on a minute. How many fucking teen movies are based on Shakespeare plays? This is getting stupid.
He's not the man.
He's not.
He's the boy.
And maybe, so maybe the idea that as well that, like, having romantic feelings towards other people is considered part of the deal. Mm-hmm. So maybe we bring back this romantic subplot in, like, or this romantic plot into it. It's like, obviously, kids don't fall in love in the same way, so you're not allowed to date at all. And he starts having these feelings for this girl, and he starts hanging out with, but, you know, but kids hang out with each other and are friends, so he has to, like, and then she starts developing feelings for him, and he has to be like, oh, gross, girls are gross. And, like, is pushing her over and stuff, and she's like, stop.
Pushing her over.
And then the older he gets, the less it becomes acute childlike behaviour and the more it becomes abuse.
Yeah, it becomes like just full on physical bullying.
At what point does she just give up? That's the thing. Like
the third act of the play, of the film. Like, just before he like has to do the run and declare of love, and he tears the duct tape off his balls.
She gives up, like, and he's ready to go, but he's like, I can't lose this wager. I would say the stakes are really high for him.
Yeah.
A he's tenner. Like, I can't just leave it as a tenner, but to a child, that's a lot of money.
The stakes are super high for him, and so he's like, I can't lose this wager. At which point, her friend, who sees this connection, in inverted commas, like, says, I'll make you a wager that you'll be nice to her and will go through puberty. And then she says, for £12, this rich friend of theirs. And then he's like, yes, I can lose the bet because I'll win the other one.
I make a profit of £2.
Which will cover the bus fare I need to chase after her and then rip the duct tape off my balls.
I'm thinking there's an entire, like, 10-minute scene of him ripping the duct tape off his balls.
And it just who's being playing, like, this guy?
Oh, God!
Just... it's Hayley Joel Osment.
I wanted to have Michael Cera. I was like...
Adult Hayley Joel Osment.
Adult Hayley Joel Osment, but he's surrounded by teens.
Sophie Turner.
Sophie Turner, Maisie Williams.
And little bit, like, you know, middle-aged, weighted, like, losing hair, Hayley Joel Osment.
Well, the thing about Hayley Joel Osment is his body seems to have grown, his face has hasn't. Not.
It's... true.
He just keeps going, hello, fellow teens. This is the entire part of the film where he just watches porn and goes, I do not care for this one bit.
So from Dwatg, or Don't Worry About the Government podcast, what Gwen heard while trapped in her locker.
I like that. This is a murder mystery.
Ooh.
Like, where...
A murder mystery teen movie.
Gwen... played by Maisie Williams, is a nerd who's like, you know, plays Dungeons and Dragons, and she's in the chess club, and all the regular stereotypes. And this bully played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson,
fully adult,
comes over and says, "What are you doing with those books? Book nerd."
you're not very eloquent, man.
Stupid book nerd.
Smacks him out of her hands, like, onto the floor, and as she's trying, bends down to pick him up, like, as she's, like, doubled over trying to pick them up, he picks her up in a kind of ball shape. And then just, like, carries her over to a locker and shoves her in, and then props a chair up against it. And then says, "How do you like...
how do you like them apples?
Don't you like the... Ain't you got a reading light in there, nerd Gwen?"
And his friend's like, "Oh, you didn't... Oh, that one didn't quite land. Dwayne The Rock Johnson," which is his name in the film as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to work on your one-liners. We'll workshop them.
Do you want to meet in the drama room after school?
Yeah, well, sorry, I've booked you a writing team.
Oh yeah.
There's a subplot of him just getting better at comebacks.
Better at one-liners. And as he does, focusing on something, like, he's not focused at school, but he's got one of those hats on, just like stripy. It's got a helicopter on the top to make him look younger. He's getting, because he can't focus at school, but him focusing on his delivery of one-liners actually makes him a better person. There's a whole arc there.
Like,
but
in the arc, he gets into improv at one point, and then he's getting better and better at that, and it ends with him, like an after-credit scene where he's, like, on the comedy circuit, and he's, like, a really major comedian.
The after-credits is that, but what's going to happen is he gets into improv, he gets into acting, he gets into role-playing, he ends up in one of Gwen's D&D games. But that's just a subplot, right? This is what happens. Whilst he's stuck in...
that's just something that happens on the side.
Yeah, while she's stuck in the locker, the head teacher, played by...
Also by Dwayne The Rock.
This is Nicolas Cage.
Okay. Great head teacher casting.
Yeah. She sees him dragging something behind him.
JFK.
Is it what she heard or is it what she saw?
What Gwen heard.
So she sees him. She hears him, like, dragging something heavy along the thing, and he's going, "Oh, this is really heavy. I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, damn. Oh boy." She's stuck in there overnight.
Boy, I do regret shooting John F. Kennedy.
It's got to be something. It's got to be something a little bit less.
Again. I dug him up and shot him.
I shot him, okay? He says to the voices in his head. God!
I'm quite liking the mystery being... remember that episode of The Simpsons that's like Rear Window?
Yeah.
Where it ends up just
the
being
pool
Ned
party one.
Burying a burying a plant.
Yeah, the heat
in the
wave.
Back garden, yeah. So. The... Oh, yeah. God, I forgot how that opens.
Simpsons A plots and Simpsons B plots are so, so unrelated. It's amazing.
So I'm thinking, like, he's like, "I kind of wish I hadn't..." But because she thinks that he's burying a body or, like, dragging a body, where he's, in fact, something else.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, like, exam results...
All about the assassination of JFK. Guys, I don't mean to shoehorn this in.
I've got some issues.
She hears him dragging something and grumbling about how he kind of wishes he hadn't done it or done whatever he said. He's just like, "I wish I hadn't done it, but he was such a shitty president." That's what she hears. That's the entirety of what she hears.
Is this modern day?
She gets home and she's like on TV. "Someone has dug up the body of JFK
and shot him again."
And shot him again.
There's that weird conspiracy theory of, like, who shot JFK. They won't be asking the questions if someone shoots him again.
So, right, I tell you what. The place that this skeleton, he takes this skeleton to shoot it, is the only sound padded room in the school, the drama studio, right? And because there's evidence in there, Nicolas Cage shuts down the drama studio completely. He's having it bulldozed as the principal.
To clarify,
bear with me.
To clarify, he has actually reshot JFK. Yeah.
To hide the evidence, he bulldozes the drama studio, right? Which means Dwayne The Rock Johnson can no longer do his improv, meaning he ends up turning up at this D&D game like, please, Gwen, can I be in your D&D game? And then... he's broken. And then Maisie Williams.
I'm really struggling here.
That's to prove that the improv comp was shut down because the head teacher reshot JFK.
Yeah, why is this so difficult to understand?
It's just a bit of a tricky needle to thread.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Maisie Williams has got a lot of work on her hands.
Yeah, she has. But it's okay because she's got help now from Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
They have to figure out who reshot JFK.
Yeah.
Well, they don't, because she knows it's the principal.
She has to prove it.
Oh, right, fair enough.
So they have to sneak into the old closed drama club where there are bone shards from his skeleton.
And then they have to use the science in the science lab.
Yeah, there's another character in the D&D group.
Oh, he took him to... for a minute then, I've forgotten that we said he took him to the drama studio, because I thought it was going to say that the school had been built on top of JFK.
an ancient JFK burial ground.
Let's go with that. It's great.
Of course, this film is going to include...
This is called JFK Memorial High School.
I'm going to say that JFK has to come back as a ghost at some point in this.
Yeah.
Played by, fuck it, Michael Cera.
Yeah. Why not? There you go. That is a full and encompassed plot of a mystery set in a teen high school.
Did man walk on the moon and do that other thing I was talking about? I don't know what the other thing was. Anyway, so that was all the honourable mentions for this week. Thank you, everyone who's given us titles. If you want to give us titles any time of the week or look for the posts, you can find us on facebook.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast and on Twitter as well @Life's a Pitch Show.
What kind of time of week are we talking that they should go and check those?
Weekend.
Around the weekend?
Yeah.
Sort of Saturday time?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that kind of time. Yeah, well, yeah. Like, if you keep up to date with what we're doing, I usually post, well, me and you, Matt, post some random stuff on there to keep everyone interested. Yeah.
I don't post at all.
No.
I actively, you keep asking me and I'm saying, no.
Joe, why haven't you posted?
I refuse. I flatly refuse. In fact, every time you ask me, I punch you in the balls.
It's true.
Oh, and that hurts.
Well, you keep taping them to your, like...
Yeah.
I wish we had made that bet.
I refuse to go through puberty.
We bought a zoo.
I refuse to go through puberty.
I like the idea that the alternate, like, European title to that movie would be I Refuse to Go Through Puberty. Yeah, thank you for all of your suggestions. It's always great to hear from you, and you are the backbone of this podcast.
Which we come in and just knee. Snap, fight Bane.
And then push you down and go, nerd! Thank you especially to our 5 patrons. That's Joe Hegarty, Ross_Originals, Spanky Mills, My Way to Talent, and Adam Owen. So thank you all for your amazing contributions that help keep this show going. If you would like to go over and do the same, help us out in our artistic endeavour, if you can call this art, then you can go over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast, where not only can you help us do stuff and actually make this podcast better, and actually those by the end of this month, those patrons will have helped us get a new mic, so we don't have to be sharing two mics between three people. But you will also get some stuff for yourself. You can get bonus extra content. We have a tier where you can get an extra pitch a week. You can vote on the genre for the for as little as 25 pence a week, or 25 cents a week. You can vote on the genre of the films that we pitch, and we do movie commentaries and all sorts of stuff like that. So go over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast to check out the cool stuff you can get there.
Joe, where can people find you?
At the moment, just sort of all over the place. I'm on Facebook at Joe Thompson Comedy. I'm on Twitter at Human Spaghetti. I believe I'm on Instagram, connected with the same account. I can't remember my own Instagram account.
We rarely mention it.
We rarely mention Instagram, but we do. If you go,
we do have an Instagram account.
Life's a Pitch Show.
It's used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can also find a lot of my work with A Mind Apart. I do a lot of work with them. Most of the work I do currently is with them, and they are a youth-based theatre company that I work for. If you can check them out as well.
Cool. On with
the main pitch.
The main pitch of today, and that is from Tomasz Trodakowski, The Cyborg Next Door.
The Cyborg Next Door. Man. So are we doing this sort of like The Girl Next Door style? We found out she's a porn star, but this time it's we found out she's a cyborg. Like, the girl next door, someone, a new family moves in next door, mm-hmm. Right?
Right, before we go into this, actually, I would like to establish what we all understand as a cyborg.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It's a person who's had bits replaced, right?
Right, okay. Right.
Half person, half robot, so, is the short version of that.
So, cyborg from the DC Universe and the Justice League film.
Right, okay.
Which is someone who's had it done to them.
Because I was...
Cyborgs really exist.
Yeah.
They are real things... As in, like, there's a guy who's colourblind that uses an attachment in his head to make a tone when he looks at various colours to allow him to see more colours than the human eye.
Okay, right? So Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, yeah. well, hang on. Hang on now. Because he's a robot.
No. Right. Matthew Broderick.
Right.
The amount of times we've talked about this already, Matt.
Yeah.
Inspector Gadget is a human being... that's been in a car accident or crushed by a piano, I think.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I'm going to need you to source that for me in the original source material cartoon rather than Matthew Broderick.
Guys,
travesty.
Inspector Jack Gadget was what his name was before the accident.
So it's an Inspector Gadget origin story.
Yes,
but I'm thinking we sort of,
but not revealed until the end.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
well, that's the thing, isn't it? This ship of Theseus thing, where as you start off as a human, you get into an accident with a piano falling on a car accident, and then
piano falling
so a piano falls into a car, which then accidentally smashes into Inspector Jack Gadget. Hear me out. And then he has to replace like one thing, but then slowly he keeps getting into accidents. That's how I assume it's a teen starts as a teenager. Yeah.
It's a teen film, and I'm thinking like purely from the title alone, this guy is not the main character.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we've got to have a POV character, which is next door.
So we follow a character, another character.
Mm.
Who sees this character and is getting profoundly maybe jealous of like this character's skill at everything because he's just using gadgets for all of them. Like he has like a rocket-powered arm like in sports and he's got like inbuilt wiki. Which one?
Let's cast the titular character, the eponymous character.
Who's going to play young Inspector Gadget?
Harry Styles.
All right, Harry Styles. And so an appropriately...
He's an actor now.
he is now. He did that film.
he was in Dunkirk.
He definitely did that. So I will not dispute that he definitely was in it. So in our point of view character, are we going to have this person be a love interest, a rival, a buddy?
To a certain extent, I think they're going to see this character's abilities.
An exchange student.
And they have to be, like, to a certain extent, jealous. So maybe love interest isn't the best angle on that because, you know, she's going to spend the whole thing being like, it's so annoying. Or,
I don't know, I'm thinking...
He's so annoying that I find him so sexy. No,
I'm thinking he's the perfect boy now.
Right.
He's the perfect boy, love.
Perfect boy.
He's perfect boy. He's Mr.
His name is Boy Love.
Boy Love.
Which was the first name for Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Boy Love. Oh no, that took a dark turn. Inspector Boy Love Gadget.
Okay, so...
Maybe not, eh?
Love interest? Female love interest?
Yeah, that's... let's go with Maisie Williams.
Okay.
What, the usual? The teen movie female usual.
I think we've cast her a few times already this episode.
Who plays Hit Girl? Because that's our other option.
Oh, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Between the two of them.
I'm thinking Maisie Williams is the main character. Maybe... Chloe Grace Moretz is like a love rival, I guess.
Yeah.
Like she's the popular girl.
She's the popular girl.
Miss Popular.
Right, so I've got this...
We're just naming these characters very on the nose.
Miss Popular.
Is he not going to be a cyborg out the gate, or is he going to be he's going to start being a cyborg as the film goes through?
I'm thinking secret cyborg. I'm thinking, right, open up in a school and we've got like... Who's the new kid on the block? And he comes in.
Just moved in from Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's this strapping young chap, Harry Styles.
Thanks,
Grandma. Yeah, that's how the teacher introduces him. Here we've got a strapping young chap from Milwaukee.
It's what's her name?
Tilda Swinton, teacher.
Yeah.
Tilda Swinton.
Yeah, he's a teacher. He's this strapping young chap from Milwaukee.
Tilda Swinton, but as she is in Doctor Strange.
Bold in a robe.
Yeah, and Maisie Williams, like, sees him, he flicks his hair in slow-mo, and, like, he can do that. That's his thing.
He flicks his hair in slow-mo, right, but, like, it's... It looks really cool as he does it in slow-mo, but when it's sped up again, you see that he's just going... like, his neck servos are having a twitch.
This is in a recap thing where he does reveal eventually to Maisie Williams that he's a cyborg, and she's like, oh, yeah, like... I did wonder what
you were doing with your hair.
Well, yeah, that's one of many things. Yeah, that his not next questioned.
Constantly slow-mo walking down every hallway.
Yeah, it's like
slow-mo walking, but like with ridiculously long legs. Walking like an AT-AT from Star Wars.
So we're saying he's like a secret cyborg.
Yeah.
Yeah, early Inspector Gadget trying to keep it quiet from everyone.
Yeah.
As opposed to late Inspector Gadget who can't go through a conversation without bringing out a gadget.
He was crushed. Right. He was crushed by an avalanche.
Right.
In a skiing accident.
Right.
Which is the origin story for Go-Go Gadget skis. Shoes.
Yeah. Good. And his parents are scientists who, to save him... had to replace his body.
The majority of his body.
So this all happens at school. She gets back home and sees this moving van in the house next door.
Yeah.
And her two parents are like out on the lawn with a fruit basket just standing there.
Who's her two parents? She's standing there waiting.
waiting for
the scene to start.
Waiting for the scene to start. Then John Goodman and Sean Bean.
Okay, two dads.
And
Sean Bean's like, "There's a new family moving in soon." They're...
Someone's coming.
Someone's coming.
So that's Kit Harington, the impression you're doing. Yeah. Sean Bean's much deeper.
Kit Harington, which is Maisie Williams' older brother within the same family.
You've got to remember that...
He's the one at college, only, they don't see him that often.
The only Sean Bean impression I can do is the is 006.
From James Bond.
Alex Trevelyan, from GoldenEye, so it's like...
Just Kit Harington's voice.
No, it's Sean Bean, who's just a person from Sheffield trying to pretend like he was educated
Queen's
at Eton.
English,
it's just like
hello, James.
The same 3 minutes you gave me, James. And it just like fluctuates wildly between like this. The same 3 minutes you gave me, James.
So we're just waiting out there with a fruit basket, just. Like
there's a new family. Joining the street.
We're just gonna go check. They're definitely not homophobes.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Says John Goodman. The only line he has in the film.
I figured if we present them with a fruit basket, they probably can't be homophobic from then on. I figured if we present them with a fruit basket, they'll get it.
So, right, she's like, what's going on? It's like,
moving in.
They're moving in. Who?
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
And Dwayne The Rock Johnson. No, Vin Diesel.
Whose child is
a cyborg?
Vin Diesel, yeah.
Both playing scientists.
Yeah,
yeah. They walk in white coats, obviously. Yeah,
they're in the white coats.
Vin Diesel, like, bulging out the white coat.
Yeah. It's torn a little bit on the shoulders.
I like your science.
I like science.
I do science. With my family.
He's a robotician, roboticist, robot man.
Cybertronic man.
He's a scientist of cybertronics.
And they all love skiing.
He's called Professor Hootlaw.
Hootlaw?
Yeah.
Outlaw?
Yeah.
Professor Outlaw.
And Vin Diesel constantly correcting, like, it's Outlaw.
Outlaw?
Hoop. There's a 5 minute scene of just Vin Diesel and Sean Bean, like, oop, oop, oop.
They go sit in their room, like all their stuff's just newly been packed in, and they're sat on opposite sofas as Maisie Williams is staring into these uncaring eyes of Harry Styles.
But the thing is, the person struggling to pronounce it is Vin Diesel, right? Whose name it is, supposedly. We find out later that they've had to flee their old home because a reporter found out about them. So they've changed their name, so that's not their real name.
Their real name is Gadget.
Reporter played by Will Arnett. Who, like, later in the film, he becomes the villain because he finds them again and, like, wants to basically expose Harry Styles to the world.
Will Arnett is, like, the press man from Junior.
Mm.
If you remember that film.
Yeah,
about
Arnold
Schwarzenegger.
Jesus Christ, I forgot.
Yeah.
That was the main, like...
My brain seems to be working today, but in weird ways.
I
can't think of anything funny to say, but I can remember that it was the villain in Junior.
That was the main tension, wasn't it?
we had that question.
From the press.
We posed a question to our audience a few years ago.
What was the main conflict in Junior?
Who was the bad guy in Junior? We can't think of anything.
Military-industrial complex, I don't know. Usually, isn't it?
Well, that's Will Arnett's character. He's the military-industrial complex who wants this cyborg for not only...
Yeah, he's not a reporter.
For not only skiing lessons, but to run his military.
He wants to personally own him so he can sell the plans back to the military and at the same time use him as an expert ski instructor.
But anyway, so... Maisie Williams, I'm thinking, like... could be way too shy to sort of ask Harry Styles out.
Yeah.
Like, But they end up together at the end.
Yeah, like, she is just head over, like, just moist through the whole
thing. Jesus Christ.
She's, well, she's just, she's objectifying, sexually objectifying him.
Yeah.
Like, she's, you basically get the real life equivalent of the awooga eyes. The cartoon awooga eyes. Her tongue goes out of her mouth.
Yeah, but you go, awooga! And then she's like, oh, I just got a text. You could do that.
Like, yeah, you could do it.
Like a Scott
that's a
Pilgrim.
Weird, that's like a weird SNL sort of thing, like a paste joke. For some reason, that just says SNL to me.
Yeah, or Edgar Wright.
Yeah, so, a little bit Edgar Wright.
Where they've got that, in space, where they've got that doorbell that's... it happens every time there's an alarming moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm thinking, well, like, she... kind of just objectifies him, but at the end I think she ends up sort of becoming a cyborg.
How? Like, what, she wants to get close to him so she, like... She cuts her own hand off. No, yes, right. She knows he's an expert skier.
Yeah.
And so in
He doesn't want to go anywhere near the slopes.
No, but right, she's heard he's an expert skier. She's done some research because she's creeping on him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
She like sneaks into his room. There's a barbecue going on. Mm. She sneaks into his room to find out what he's into.
Yeah.
Right. Finds a load of ski medallions. Right. And then says, "Hey, whatever your
Harry
name
Styles.
Is, Harry Styles' character.
Boy Love Gadget.
You know what I love doing?
Boy Love Gadget.
You know what I love doing? Skiing. I love skiing."
And that's when he shuts down.
No. That's when...
His memory implant goes...
Yeah, he buzzes, right? But standing just behind her, focus into shot, is... Who did we say was the...
Chloe Grace Moretz.
She says... "I didn't know that you skied. Oh my gosh! I ski as well. We should totally have a jump off."
As the teenage girls are wont to do, challenge each other to basic, like...
There's the school field trip coming up. I'm thinking, right...
Why do so many of our films revolve around ski jumping, Tom?
I don't know. But I'm thinking, right, these are the beats, right? Chloe Grace Moretz starts going out of Harry Styles. This is after Maisie Williams has brought up the skiing and shut him down.
Yeah.
The barbecue is ruined. because Vin Diesel has to carry him back up to his room going, "We don't talk about skiing! Not in this family! Not anymore!
Nick Cage!
Don't
talk about skiing!
Yeah.
Not in this family! No. Not anymore!"
But, right, so, yeah, she's like, "Oh, shit, like, I can't believe I've... broken him." He's a cyborg. What the fuck? And so, yeah, he ends up going out with Chloe Grace Moretz because he's a hot bod. She's a hot bod too.
Hot bod Mark II.
Hot bod 2 electric boogaloo.
And,
back in the habit.
And so, over time, like, he sort of grows affections towards Maisie Williams because of their proximity.
Yeah.
And only because of their
proximity. No, because she also has a sort of analytic approach to life.
Yeah. She reads books.
Yeah, she reads books. She's good at maths. she's good at maths and the sciences, right? So she represents someone who can understand his more logical side. Whereas Chloe Grace Moretz is more just about the bod.
There's a scene where they're like looking at each other through the window, like in every like next door neighbor like style thing.
Yeah.
And like she waves to him and he goes to wave at her and his hand just like extends through the roof.
Yeah. He's going through robot puberty.
And that and his eyes actually move out and hit the window.
Yeah, there's like a scene where like she's in a room. She's like, "Oh, you should. If only..." They're like texting each other, like, "Oh, you should come over." But you know, I don't. I wish you could just climb over because my parents aren't going to let you come.
I wish you could fly over here.
Yeah, and then he just sort of like... his torso just extends through the window over to hers.
This is where we see...
like a slinky.
This is where
a slinky dog and just falls down.
This is where we see the Inspector Gadget stuff coming because the helicopter hats over.
Can we at least... Right, there's that sort of thing. She already knows he's a cyborg by this point. Well, we'll have to write the scene where she finds
cyborg.
That he's a cyborg later. But, right, there's this scene where he's like, okay, here I go. And because, you know, he goes through robot puberty, he doesn't know quite how all his parts work yet.
That and he's only had them for 2 weeks.
Yeah. He goes, okay, here we go, opens his window, and he just goes, ba 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 ba, sorry, da la da 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 da. And like, it's like, you know, the Inspector Gadget theme, but it's triumphant. Yeah. And then he extends his torso like a slinky, and he's heading towards the window, and then just suddenly, and just goes, like, flops down to the floor.
Dad! Dad, retract me back in!
No.
I swear this never happened.
So he's like stuck there, and Maisie Williams' dad, one of them, John Goodman, who's a real hard ass about boys.
But never says a word.
No, he is. He's the grumpy one. He's the one who's like, you should be focusing on your studies. You shouldn't be going off with boys. He's especially a weird one. I don't trust his family right at the moment. And then, and so he's patrolling the garden to wait for boys. But, and his dad's
a torch.
Well, no, he's doing gardening or something. I don't know. He's doing a quick late night water of the plants. All right, the begonias need watering at twilight.
A quick late night watering of the plants.
Yeah.
How would you establish that in what? Like, he's going,
a conversation over breakfast.
Better go out and what are the plans tonight?
Like, listen, we can see it in the thing where he's an avid gardener. In the barbecue scene, it's there, right? They're talking about gardening. That's fine. It's in the dialogue, right? He's going around the garden. Wait. And so he's there with his torso stretched out from the window to the other side of the hedge that divides their two houses.
He's a strange one, that boy.
But no, he's on his way, and he's muttering to himself, I don't trust him.
I don't trust that kid.
His
body's extended across the lawn.
But he doesn't know, he hasn't seen him yet.
All right.
So he's going to get, and he's like, oh shit, here we go. And then the handles extend out of his hat. That he always wears to hide his cybertronic brain. And then suddenly, like, helicopters sprout out, and he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa! And then he, like, takes off cutting some of the hedge off with the blades, right? And then flying up to Maisie Williams' room, right? And then you just see cut to John Goodman going, huh, I didn't know Sean had started taking up topiary.
So, anyway, right, to end this, right?
Yeah.
Chloe Grace Moretz finds out about their secret midnight shenanigans.
Yes.
There's no other word
no,
for
it's,
it.
No, it's absolutely
just shenanigans.
It's absolutely PG rated.
This has gone from very, like, for a lot of the scenes are quite, like, John Green, like, Fault in Our style, a Stars style, like, quite cute and romantic, and then it just has gone wacky American Pie style capers.
No, it's PG rated. What they were doing is trying to meet up to share evidence about this military man who's trying to hunt him.
Like, more like Diary of a Wimpy Kid style, like, they're just like, very they're, wacky kind of.
They grow affections, and then, like, Chloe Grace Moretz is like, I hear I've been hanging out with my boyfriend recently. And Maisie Williams like, yeah, we're trying to find out
who's hunting him.
this is at the ski lodge where they've gone for a field trip, and Cyborg Man is like, well, like, he's stayed at home because he can't go anywhere near a slope again.
Yeah,
and she's like, well, do you like him? And she's like, yeah.
Like, Maisie Williams, who can't ski.
Yeah, she can't ski, and Chloe Grace Moretz, who is like an avid skier, she's like, well, I'll race you for him. This is a teen movie, Joe.
Yep, that's how relationships work in teen movies.
That's how, yeah. And Maisie Williams is like, fine, because I really like him. And I'm terrible at skiing, but I will do anything for love.
Like, she, at this point, she hasn't told... She doesn't know that he hates skiing.
Mm.
Like, everyone still thinks that he's an ex-pro skier. Right? Like, everyone in the school thinks that he's an ex-pro skier because that whole thing of, like, she found out about it, like, there's this whole thing. So, Maisie Williams now can't back down because she doesn't want him to know that she lied about being able to ski.
Well, so he has gone to the ski lodge then?
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, he's like, but he's staying inside. Yeah, like, yeah, so, yeah. So he's staying away from the slopes.
Yeah, he's trying to find out who's hunting him still.
Well, they. This is the whole thing. He wasn't going to go, but then the military found his house.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got to go on this school trip.
That ties it together.
Last minute, photographically forges his parents' signature.
Yeah.
Like, he's got a scanner in his eyes.
It has to come out, like, in, like, the end of his finger.
Yeah.
A little ticker tape that he just sticks onto the permission slip.
So, during the race, right, Maisie Williams takes a tumble. All, like, heading to the end off a cliff.
Yeah,
she's like, oh shit, this is it. This is the end.
Well, Chloe Grace Moretz goes, ha ha ha, I hope you die.
Yeah, yeah. And he swoops in just in time on his ski legs, special ski legs, and saves her. And she's like, I thought you didn't want to go skiing. And he's like, yeah, I've always got time for you, baby.
No, man.
I just said to myself, it's time to go.
Go, gadget, ski legs.
No, like, he does this, but there's no kind of... you saved me. It's... They both go off the cliff together.
Yeah, yeah.
And she lands, and you see from her perspective, she opens her eyes, and his head is separate from his body. Mm. Like, and she's like, oh my God, and then blacks out.
Like Ian Holm from Alien.
Yeah. Exactly like Ian Holm from Alien. Right. And you just
white
see
blood just like
you just see his eyes open and like blinking and looking at into her eyes.
Like those kids. This is gonna be a weird reference, but like those kids from the old milk tray advert. You remember the Cadbury advert where there was these two kids
like with the eyebrows.
With eyebrows and eyes just like he's like
No. Like that's the thing. She's like basically she's been in a fucking ski accident. She's fallen off a cliff.
Yeah.
She's there. Blacking out, you know, you have that sort of like eyelids closing effect on the camera, and then you can see him head separate from the body in frame, going, "It's gonna be okay, Maisie. It's gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay." And then she blacks out, and then wakes up in the hospital, and then doctor standing there, she's like, "Is he okay? Is he okay?" And then they say, "Yeah, he's gonna be fine." And you know what? It's Vin Diesel. No, Vin Diesel's a doctor, isn't he? Vin Diesel's a professor. We want the doctor one, the surgeon.
Who's? Oh, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is there, being like, it's not him you should be worried about. But you're lucky you've got a good doctor. And then she looks down and she's also got some cybertronic parts.
She looks down and she's got one metal claw.
Oh my God! Yes, she's got one metal claw.
The Inspector Gadget origin story. No one wanted.
Yeah, she's got one, everyone who hasn't seen it, Inspector Gadget. The main bad guy of Inspector Gadget was the claw.
So
right?
Maisie Williams is the bad guy in...
Fuck it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We also had to replace your voice box.
Oh no. Oh no. And then she starts like, she's like, oh no. You did this to me, Gadget. Boy love Gadget ruined my life.
But, sorry,
Catherine Zeta-Jones goes, is that how you pronounce his first name? It's Bowie Love.
It's Boilov.
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 It's Boilov A.
Sean Bean is like, what?
It's Boilov A.
Boilov A.
No, Boilov A.
Boilov A.
It's B-O-I.
It's spelt Boilov.
B-O-I Love.
Can we get back to the real issue at hand?
I mean claw. Oh God! I'll get you, Gadget.
Oh my God! I'm
also, in the skiing race, there's also an avalanche which kills Will Arnett. just to wrap up.
Well,
that
we really should have had Chloe Grace Moretz be claw, really, shouldn't we?
No, Chloe Grace Moretz gets killed, but they put a brain into that of a cat.
I was gonna say a dog, but yeah, what is it? Is it a dog or a cat?
I don't know.
Oh right, I see what you mean.
Yeah, no, the cat from
Claw, but Inspector Gadget has a dog as well. Mm. So
yeah, but I feel like Chloe Grace Moretz would also hate Inspector Gadget, so we'd probably more likely be part of like
true,
the,
yeah,
part of the part of that. I feel like maybe
Maisie Williams sort of ends up with all gadgets, and Chloe Grace Moretz is also caught in the avalanche. She ends up with a claw.
Yeah,
I think that's that. That makes sense.
In fact, they had to put Maisie Williams into a supercomputer.
So she ends up like what's his name from Captain America.
Yeah, she ends up being like his base.
Wait, so who's got the claw at this point?
Chloe Grace Moretz.
Okay. And Maisie Williams is in a computer.
Yeah. They put her brain into a computer.
I don't know. Listen, listeners, you figure it out. All right? Figure it out.
End it how you want to end it, because
it's a multiple choice ending.
We'll thrash it out in the main scripting. All right? Second pass.
Until Inspector Gadget...
Leave it there. Until Inspector Gadget.
I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Joe Thompson.
And remember who pitched it.
Bye.
Bye.